start off and I'm going to ask the Lord to guide us. So our Father, I thank you for all the people who've come tonight, as we come not just to hear an apologetic sermon, but to come and also worship you and to give thanks to you for the great God that you are. So for many of us, we are so grateful that we've come to realise that you're real and alive, and you're actually a part of our life, and you are the great and awesome God. And we just ask that you would grow us in our faith. I know I've had times when I've had doubts, and all of us can go through that. So there is always a need for our faith to be strengthened. And I thank you that tonight we can do that, as well as help other people come to love your Son and to love the fact that you are real. So I pray that you'd guide us now, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, about to start a very special series. It won't be every week, it'll be probably once a month. We might do it like that. And we're going to be doing what we call apologetics. So we'll be looking at a defence of our faith, the reason why we believe what we believe. And there's lots of great things to consider, like why do we believe in the existence of God? You know, that's something that you meant to work out and be settled in. Other big things are, why do you believe in the Bible being the Word of God? That's huge as well. Why do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Because the majority of the world doesn't believe that. They believe as high, maybe a prophet, but pretty much just another Jewish person, and you know, the disciples just beat up this story that he's someone great. Also, there's other things too. Why do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Because that's pretty big, because that's the cornerstone of the Christian faith. And we should have a defence for all these things. Even this, how do we understand? What's the defence we have for the fact that our world is so messed up and there's so much pain and suffering? How can God be good? Surely you've asked that. Yeah. So there are answers. And it's so lovely to know that we have God, there is a great God, who's able to help us through things, and he has his word. It is the word of God, and it speaks into our life. But tonight I want to look at why we believe in the existence of God. And let me just start off with a few thoughts. And I know, you know, I grew up as an engineer, and I know my engineering friends would have all sorts of things to tell me, because they were atheists mainly. So they would have these views. So I grew up with all this. You know, it's just wishful thinking. It's just something, this thing about God coming from primitive societies, but now we're so clever and sophisticated. Well, that's not quite true. We're so more messed up than ever. Anyway, that's what they say. They also look at it as a construct to give us hope because of death, to give people a crutch, to give certain people a reason to have power over others. So you think of organised religion. So there's lots of things. And so everyone believes something, right? So tonight you believe in something. You can't just believe in nothing. So the reality is, do you believe in the existence of God or not? So I used to have these good debates with my engineering friends. And on their own, it was really interesting how far we could get. In a group, they would just attack you. You ever notice that? I mean, I couldn't believe it. But that's how it is. But on their own, they're more vulnerable because they wonder. They wonder about if there is a God. So just for a purpose of understanding my background, I grew up as an engineer, in the sense of when I went to uni, went to UWA for 4 years doing engineering, electronics engineering, and then 14 years as in engineering. So I was privileged, I could say, to be exposed to science and engineering, to chemistry and quantum physics, to high-end mathematics, and pretty full-on communications that the world hasn't seen yet. It's still on the radar. Amazing sort of stuff. And of course, I'm coming across all the time very atheistic attitudes. We would have lecturers who are just absolutely crazy. They're talking about something high-end, And then they just suddenly start bursting out with this stuff about how can anyone be a Christian? Like, out of nowhere. So sometimes I wonder, maybe they've got a Christian wife or something, I don't know. And they've got to just say it. But I used to think, man, we are crazy. Why would you even say that? But anyway, I remember that. That happened several times, and pretty much making it clear if you believe in a God or if you're a Christian, you're a moron. You left your brain outside the classroom. Now, tonight I get a chance to explain why we believe, but actually I'm not going to be explaining to you why I believe. I believe with all my heart in the existence of God. I believe in the existence of God enough to die for that truth. That's how important it can become. That's how important it should become. And I would die for that belief because not only is there a great God, but I love his character and being. And so I'm going to start off, though, by actually looking at the Bible, first of all, and then we'll be exploring different disciplines, different spheres of science. So I'm going to start off by reading Psalm 14. And Psalm 14, verses 1 and 2, says these words. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Now, why do I read that out? Well, our God would say to us, so I know some people don't believe in God, our God would say to us, people who don't believe in God, if God was speaking, people who don't believe in me, God says, you fool. Why would he say that? Because it's plain and clear. That's what the Bible's declaring to us. That's interesting, isn't it? The next thing that God says is, even though it's plain and clear that I exist, I look at the world and I don't see anybody seeking after me. People are seeking after nothing. They don't seek after the true God. And if they are seeking about spiritual things, they're seeking after gods or ideologies and not the true God. Wow, that's incredible. Okay, another passage I want to read is from Romans chapter 1, 18 to 20. Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. So again, from God's book, I read of pretty amazing things. God would say to us that we suppress the truth in regards to his existence. Why on earth would we do that? I hope we would all know why. Because it's inconvenient to believe in God. Because we all know if there's a God, we have to be accountable to him. It's an inconvenient truth. Ever thought of that? There's a reason why we want to suppress the truth. The other thing I notice is that it says here in this passage that God has made it evident. And what has he made it evident through? Especially through creation. So verse 20 tells us that creation has this powerful voice to us, ringing out loudly that there is an awesome God. And yet God would say in Psalm 14, no one's seeking me. So these things I thought we could start with tonight. So now I'm going to start looking at, there's so much I could share here. I've limited it. I hope you appreciate that. I've tried to make it simple. In my mind, I can go too deep into things because I've been blessed with a whole lot of intellectual stuff. So I'm going to try and make it simple. And I think in the simplicity, there's such beauty and glory. So you just hear what I said? We don't need to make this complicated. In the simplicity, there is such beauty and glory. So we're going to start off with the cosmos. Is there any evidence of God when we consider the stars and the galaxies? Well, Psalm 19 says there is. How does that go? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. So let's think of our own solar system. It's a spiral galaxy, and up she comes on the screen. Oh, how beautiful is that? That's not one. There should be another one. Back a bit. Is there another one? Next one? I'm just checking. I know what our solar system has spiral arms to it. That's how I know. But all the galaxies are very special. Just waiting. No, not that one. But anyway, look at them, right? That's not our solar system. So that's the Milky Way. Yeah, that is the Milky Way. So see how it's got spiral arms around it? It comes off the centre. We're on one of the outer spiral arms. And first of all, when I look at that, I look at how it's so beautiful. What do you think? And there's such order. And if you look at the other galaxies, let's have a look at some of these others. There's such a beauty out there. And, of course, some of these things we've only been able to see recently through the telescopes we have. And that other one was really special. Look at that. So one of the things that I look at, when I look at that, I know that I believe in God. But I look at that and I go, I can't explain how all these things could just be like that. Because if I hold to a Big Bang, I've done Big Bangs when I was younger from explosions, and it just creates mess, all right? That's not mess. There's something beautiful about that. And I think that's right. It's staring us in the face that there's somebody who has made these things. Every galaxy is beautiful and exceptional, has order. It's just amazing. Okay, some other things. When I think about the universe, through powerful telescopes and radio waves, we can see to the ends of it's called the known universe. And I don't know if that gets you to think about something. Okay, so there's limits to our universe. So what's beyond that? And how far does that go? And now my brain starts to stall. Now that doesn't prove the existence of God, but it does tell us something pretty big. How little do we know? Like, wow, this is just getting beyond us. What do you reckon? Can you imagine space just goes on forever? That there's something beyond the universe? And that this universe is expanding into whatever? Well, that's huge, right? So I love these sort of ones that stall my brain. I feel like I don't have the thoughts or the language to even actually describe it or explain it. But I love that. I love I can't work out everything. It all points to a great God. And what about our own solar system? I hope you are glad about the solar system. I hope you are glad that we have a really lovely sun. Do you know that? It's got really good rays that come upon the earth, that we are just the right distance away. You know, we don't get frozen and we don't fry. Not only that, God's put us on a lovely axis, so we have seasons. That is so amazing. Do you know that? That's incredible. Was it 23 degrees? So all this perfect thing. And we also have a very amazing core that throws out an incredibly powerful magnetic force field that protects the earth from rays from the cosmos so that we don't get fried and microwaved and all that kind of thing. We live on a really habitable place. And people, even non-Christians, have worked out the odds of us having life as we have it here on Earth with all the water and so many other things. And you know what the odds are? There's not enough atoms in the universe to get to the probability of us having life as we do on Earth. That's insane, isn't it? Yeah, so people love to talk about aliens and UFOs and there's people living everywhere in the universe. The reality is it's very, 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 very unlikely. I don't believe that that's the case. This is the special place in all God's creation, right here. Okay, so what do you think of that, eh? Some of the things about cosmos, the cosmos. The next thing I'm going to do is look at chemistry. So do you remember in high school chemistry and uni chemistry, if you did that, how you came across something called the periodic table. Here it is. And I had to memorise that. It's sort of gone now. But I remember memorising it. And I don't know about you, but I was blown away by the periodic table as only a young Christian. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, I just love how there is order again. Now we're not talking about solar systems, but atomic order. And so every element in the periodic table is unique. And every element is different from the other by having a different amount of protons, neutrons and electrons. That's what it is, right? Protons and neutrons in the nucleus and electrons that buzz around the nucleus. And hydrogen is the smallest atom, leading right up to ones they're still discovering. And what I love is that protons, neutrons and electrons is what an atom, how it's configured, and yet every element on the periodic table is unique. So how on earth would you have uniqueness? How on earth would you have all these different elements all having special properties? What do you reckon? Surely it's telling us, staring you in the face, that somebody has put special properties to every element. And we just take it for granted. Well, there's one called silicon. That is amazing, that element. That is the heartbeat of computers, semiconductors. Do you know that? And God knew that there'd be this special element from which we can do all sorts of incredible things. So when I look at that, I just get blown away. And I think of the periodic table. It's got elements that are reactive and inert, that are metallic, radioactive, gaseous, liquid, solid, precious and not precious, explosive and not. That's how it is. And we get the joy of seeing all these incredible elements, and we should marvel at it. You know, the sad thing is we can look at something like that, we learn it for our tests, and have no idea that behind it is crying out, what an awesome God who has made all these things for us to discover and to know and to use. All right, let's get into now some physics. So when it comes to physics, there was a man called Einstein. All of you have heard of Einstein. And Einstein, he saw such order in the whole creation that he was able to come up with incredible formulas to predict and to understand our universe. And he, by the way, believed very strongly in a God, one great God. He didn't believe, though, in a personal God. He had trouble believing that you could know God personally. Pity he didn't come to know Jesus, because that's how you get to know God personally. And so he's the one who's known as the father of quantum physics, which I had the joy to study at UWA. Man, I remember that physics, quantum physics book. There were times when I am taking at least half an hour reading the page in the textbook, because it's so heavy going. I'd read it, I have to reread it and think through it and try and understand it. Next page, it's another half an hour. It's like crazy stuff. It's not like reading a novel. And the concepts are huge. But just something that I remember is how Einstein discovered that light and gravity are best to be understood by wave theory. And he came up with incredible formulas to model them. And he also predicted that light and gravity have an interaction with each other, and that light, as a result, can bend. Yes, light can bend with very strong magnetic fields, like from a black hole. And that's been discovered. How about that? So when I look at all that, there's such mystery with all these things. And when I see mystery, I go, that's God. There it is. And also, like, the fact that you can even model it and explain things and all that's incredible. The other thing I want to bring out with physics is Einstein came up with a very special, important formula. What's that formula? E equals mc squared. All right. And C is the speed of light. And it's amazing how in physics C comes in like every equation I can think of. Why is 3 by 10 to the 8 metres per second such an important number? Just like pi. Pi is another really important number, 3.14159, and keeps going. Wow. So there's these special numbers that also makes me think of the God factor, right? That's how I think. So anyway, E equals MC squared. What I want to highlight to you is C squared, 3 by 10 to the 8, that means 9 by 10 to the 16, 16 noughts. That's a big number. So whenever you start talking about the raw energy in an atom, you're talking about phenomenal energy. Oh, by the way, see this glass of water? This glass of water, I try to work it out as best I can. This has the raw energy of the atoms in this glass of water. There's enough energy here to create 250 Fat Man nuclear bombs. Right there. That can wipe out the southwest of WA. I know. So when... I'm just going to have a drink now. Yeah. So what do you think of that? And so when we talk about nuclear fission, we're just scratching the surface of the power that actually is in that atomic structure. Or when we do fusion, when we're putting atoms together, that's just scratching the surface of the raw energy in these things. And so, again, that means, how do we explain how there's so much huge, enormous energy in this universe? Where has it come from? Where has it come from? To me, it points to the fact that there is an awesome God who has brought these things about. All right, now let's move over to biology now. Okay, look at all the different areas, right? So, Zell, you're a science teacher. Man, it's just all, everywhere, isn't it? God, God, God. Okay, so in biology, I am moving through some of these disciplines quickly, but I want to highlight DNA, all right? DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. There it is. Look at that, the double helix. So, in our last 100 years, less than 100 years, we have come to realise that there's a thing called DNA in the nucleus of every cell, as well as in the mitochondria of the cell. And what is so amazing about DNA is that it's only about 6 micrometres in length, and it has massive amounts of information that drives every cell in terms of function, reproduction, everything you can think of. The 25,000 proteins that are needed for life to form and exist and function, it's incredible. And we've just discovered it. DNA is not just used to frame somebody or to get somebody for murder, you know. DNA is like shouting out loudly. There is so much incredible information in every cell. That includes the amoeba. The amoeba's DNA is just as complex as the DNA in my cell. That is incredible. So this DNA, with all this information there, the big question should be, we all know, there's no way you can have information without some intelligence putting it there. We all know that. So in our day and age, in our society, everyone should be a believer just from DNA. DNA is telling us so loudly that there's an awesome God. Alright, so it's not just for CSI. Another thing that I want to bring out in biology is that we have discovered in every cell, not only DNA, but there are these micro little engines, machines. And it's been worked out that these things cannot have just evolved by themselves. And they are the things that cause a cell to function well. And they've looked at these structures with all their incredible electronic microscopes, and there's a puzzle here. How can these things have formed? Because they make a cell work, but where did they come from to make a cell work? So that's another big thing that's being discovered in regards to even secular scientists are wondering about the existence of God or something, some reason for all these things. Another thing is when you look at biology, there's all sorts of incredible things in creation. So, for example, there are some orchids very special ones, very picky ones, whose flower is so perfect for only one insect in the whole world to be able to pollinate it. So if you think through that, how can this evolve? How could this happen? Because they are both needed. There's all those sort of things. I'm just going to say that once. So there's a whole lot of other things I could share. All these incredibly special things that cannot be explained away unless we believe in a God who has planned and designed all things. And then, look at yourself. Don't you think about yourself as a marvel as well? Maybe not. But thinking of your biology, I think it is amazing. And so when we have a health issue, for example, like for Colleen recently, I got to understand the heart more than I've ever understood it before and go, whoa, the heart. It is incredible how it works and how the valves work and how it contracts and all these things that happen and the pulsing that goes on. But that's how it is. As I look at the human body, there is, what are some of the big things? Like eyes. Like, wow, look at the rods and cones in our eye and the electrical signal that goes to the back of your brain and it's reversed, and your brain's clever enough to put it back to how it needs to be so you can see correct and nobody's upside down or anything. Great. And hearing. And my mum's got cochlear implants, and the way they have done put in a artificial cochlea and have attached that artificial cochlea to the nerves that feed into her brain so she can hear. And you go, wow, all these incredible things. And we start off as one little cell, and we expand and divide, and we, a little baby formed, and all these things are being knitted together, and we just take it for granted. So here we are. And right behind it all is God, the DNA driving things. And we here we are. We're a fascination. We really are. All right, I'm going to now look at something else. Consciousness. This is sort of like my final point. And I hope you've got some things you would like to share to be a blessing to us all too. Now, I reckon our consciousness proves the existence of God. First of all, instead of the word consciousness, we have a conscience. Where did that come from? If we're just all random accidents, g'day everybody, random accident, why on earth would we have, we are rational and we are also, there's morality. There's a right and wrong that we sense and know. And as we get older in life, we can burn, we can just blow away our conscience, but we know about a conscience. So why do we have that? That sounds like a God factor. But then we have consciousness. So have you ever thought about this? I'm going to try my best to explain this. So what I want to share here is that I have a consciousness of being present here, knowing my own body's position and seeing you guys. And I think about that consciousness that we have, and I go, imagine if we didn't have that. Imagine if I couldn't relate to you and I was just a rock. And my brain starts to stall. What would that look like? Or what about if there is no creation and there is no human being and there is nothing but life? So what's existence? So what do you do with it? Okay, so I'm just trying to explain these things. As I'm thinking about things, I'm already stalling as I try to explain this. There is like this void that I come to. And for me, that's always been, there is a God. The whole reason that I can live and explore and enjoy and know and participate in creation is because there's been a God outside of time and space that has given life to us, and a consciousness. I don't know if I explained that well, but that's a really big thing for me as well. Yeah, so there's a whole lot of different things that I've shared with you, why I believe there is a God. And I know in my own life, I want to just share personally, that there was a period of time that hit me out of the blue for about 6 months when I had some really huge doubts in the existence of God. And I don't know why it happened. And I remember struggling and wrestling So I'm praying to God, asking Him to help me believe in Him, even though I'm struggling in believing in Him. Don't know if you've ever done that. And I remember that for me, I remember that it was so beautiful that God helped me. And creation, I never forget this, creation. The creation that God has created helped catch me. So I lost confidence in the Bible, in Jesus, but the creation of God helped me know there is a God. And then it all worked backward to, yep, and the Bible is real, and Jesus is alive. Oh, all good now. But I never forget that experience. Don't dismiss the creation of God. The creation of God will help you remember there is an awesome God who made all things. And also, the other thing I want to share is there's one thing to believe in God because of creation, but it's another thing to cross over a line and say, I believe in you, and then to experience God that way. Through answered prayer, through very special moments with God, maybe through a dream, maybe through an experience in life that affirm to you that the Lord is real. There's a verse we actually shared with it, this in the office on during the week, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So that last bit tells us we need to believe that he's there, and when we believe that he's there, he is a rewarder. He will reward you. He will show things to you that are so amazing. So I have creation, but I also have the experience of knowing God and knowing him touching my life and all sorts of things I can't explain, except that there's a great God out there. He's not out there. He's so much closer than you realise. He's near. Yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd like to share those things with you. And I'm glad to say thank you, Lord, that despite being an engineer, being hammered with atheism, you helped me get through it and go, you're real. The Lord is real. And it's so good to know that we are not alone in our universe. There is an awesome God, and a God who, as we read the Bible, is a God who loves us and cares for us, who knows us by name, and wants us to be in heaven with him one day.